Tonight, we have a program that could be vitally important to those many people who need to improve their financial situation. My guest is Bruno Gunterlach, wealth coach, and by the way, director of YWAM Worcester, who in his earlier life worked for a Swiss bank. This is my first time interviewing a Swiss banker.
Well, welcome then. An ex-banker, though.
I think perhaps, Bruno, once a banker, always a banker, don't you? I'm very privileged to have Bruno Gunterlach here with me in the CWCP studio this afternoon, and we're going to talk to him about some aspects of financial planning, wealth management, those kind of things, because I highly respect his experience in these areas. Bruno, you wear several hats in Worcester, not least as a family man, but today I'd like to concentrate on GIG, Generational Inheritance Group. Now, that's a strange name.
Yeah, first of all, greetings to all the listeners, and thank you for the opportunity to be on your program, Tony. It's exciting, and I'm coming out of the banking industry originally. I've done many other things since, but now I'm involved in GIG, and GIG is a strange name if you don't know what it means. But it stands for Generational Inheritance Group, and it's all about changing the mindset of people into a three-generational mindset.
People will say, what do you mean, three-generational mindset? Just briefly explain.
Yeah, it's basically really a biblical concept where in Proverbs 13, verse 22, it says a good man leaves inheritance to his children's children. So our life is not about ourselves. It's not about our children. It's about our children's children. So everything we do in life should focus on how is this going to benefit the third generation.
You brought Jasper Cloete to Worcester a few weeks ago, and I was privileged to meet him and hear him speak. He's the founder. He was the original visionary behind GIG. You know him well. What drives him?
Well, I've met him some 7-8 years ago for the first time. And what really impressed me with Jasper is he's really passionate about that mindset shift that I've just approached now. He's very experienced himself in several entrepreneurial fields. He's built strong businesses, different kind of businesses. And throughout that journey of becoming an entrepreneur, he's also thought a lot about how am I going to make this last for the next few generations? And I think that's what drives him is how can we leave a legacy, yeah, that will benefit the next few generations, where they can build on, where they can step onto our shoulders and build higher levels of impact, of influence. And he's written a book as well called Legacy, which explains the whole mindset, the whole concept around GIG, very nicely, very well, very simple as well for everyone to understand. Yeah, the more I read it, the more I get it, even though I think I pretty much got a lot of it already, but there's always new things to discover. And because it's a mind shift, a mindset shift, it's a process. It's not a once-off thing.
Now, people may or may not know this, but in the business world, very few companies outlast more than two generations. And to go three or four generations is just a small number throughout the world. And now we're talking here about individuals building up legacies for several generations. I'm curious to know whether this same sort of thing could be applied to companies in order to give them the tools that they might need not to die after about 1.5 generations, as happens all too often.
Yeah, I think it's a principle. It's not just a concept, right? So principles apply on all aspects of life. And so definitely I believe it can be applied to companies. I think that the difficulty comes in when people have preset ideas how things should look like. So if you work with generations, you can't demand of the next generations how their life should look exactly, or what they should be doing exactly, what they should be studying, what they should do in terms of business, what role they should play in your business. So it's more than career planning. It's really leaving a legacy and empowering the next generations to their own success. And they can build on your success, but it might not look the same as you've built.
What do you feel is the state of financial literacy in South Africa, or any other country for that matter?
I don't think it's much different in South Africa, to be honest, than everywhere in the world. I'm shocked, even in the first world, to see how little people are financially literate. There's huge youth in debt, or over-debtment, or I don't know how the English word is, but people are in huge debt from a very young age, and that's the same all over the world. So it is a reality. So if you ask me about South Africa, it is a reality here too, as it is all over the world. And there is a huge need for education in that field. And not just education, but I think coaching and walking alongside people.
Is this one of the aims, one of the raison d'etre of GIG, financial literacy for more people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole heart behind it, is how can we empower individuals? How can we help them to handle their finances as well as stewards? That's what we are actually, we're stewards. And so it's a coaching or a mentoring concept of leading people step by step in a process towards becoming better stewards.
I have looked at financial literacy in my past life. And I think it's a chronic condemnation of our educational system. We just don't teach children how to handle money. People grow up, they are taught how to earn money, but they have no clue what to do with it once they've got it. And I see here in South Africa, so often, once somebody gets money in their hand, the only thing they think of is, oh, let's go and spend it, let's go buy it.
Yeah, I think that's the tendency of human beings, isn't it? And I grew up like that as well. I had a fairly good upbringing in my house where we learned about finances, we learned about tracking our finances, but we haven't really learned much about a godly way of handling with finances, because my parents didn't know much better about it either. In school, certainly we haven't learned anything. When I became a banker, I didn't learn anything about that, because that's not the focus of a bank. They don't want to teach you to be good stewards. They want to teach you to be good customers that make them successful with their finances. So even me, I had to go through a journey of getting to know what that means. And I was blessed to come across a teaching from Earl Pitts, which is an ex-IBM accountant, as far as I know. And he was with YWAM before and with Campus Crusade. And he developed that teaching on biblical finance principles. So that was my first connection or touch that I had on this topic, and where I've learned to budget in a way that is not restricted to what I have, but restricted to what my calling is. And that gives a total new perspective. And I think GIG talks exactly into that as well. So GIG, Generational Inheritance Group, is all about a group of people growing together in this whole process.
What's your particular position within GIG? You have a title within GIG. Explain it.
Well, I guess I've got two titles, or three titles. The one is I'm a customer, I'm a member of GIG, but I'm also a wealth coach. So that means I'm one of the mentors in the GIG club. But then we've also actually developed our own cooperative bank as a tool to actually achieve the goals of GIG, because the GIG club is an educational system. It's an educational setup where the GIG wealth coaches are helping people to grow into the mindset. But then for practical reasons, we also need a banking system that can facilitate that mindset, because the banks today, they don't facilitate for that kind of mindset. And so a few years ago, we actually registered as a cooperative financial institution here in South Africa. And so I'm one of the directors on the board of directors there.
I'm talking with Bruno Guntelak, who, as he just said, is a wealth coach with GIG. And when I first heard about the things that GIG is suggesting and proposing and telling people, I must admit, I thought, wow, if this is really as good as it sounds, I need to know more about it. And so I should also declare that I'm now a member of a local gig club here, and Bruno is my wealth advisor. And I'm looking forward to you giving me lots of advice in the future. But for the sake of somebody who might be listening who says, well, I don't have any money, I don't even know how to get started in improving my situation. I come from a poor background. Maybe I've been living in a township for all of my life. Do you think that gig has something to offer me in that sort of situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Jasper developed something that he calls the gig journey, or the wealth journey, if you want to call it that way, where you start in struggle. Most people, they start in the struggle phase where your income is less than your expenses. So you tend to end the month with a minus, you know, at the end of your money, there's still month left, that kind of thing. And of course, that's where we start with gig. We start to educate people and help them. Maybe some people are already highly in debt, and then we have ways of helping them to work themselves out of debt. We can't just take them out of debt. That would be amazing if we just had the money to buy everyone out of debt. But we can certainly educate them, help them, and counsel them in this area, how to get out of debt quickly. And then the next phase would be the stability phase, where you have already an income that exceeds your expenses, even if it's just by 10 Rand, you don't struggle as much anymore. And it goes on until you're in the significant phase where you have several streams of income, where you're actually not just stable, you're not just successful, but you're actually leaving a legacy, because those several streams of income will go on even past your death.
So it's sounding to me as if gig is something that anybody could benefit from if once they hear about it. Let me ask you to speculate, Bruno, on what would be the situation in South Africa if everybody was a member of gig?
Yeah, first of all, yes, it is for everyone, as you said. And it's the great thing is it is absolutely for free. There's free training available online. There is a membership that is paid membership, which gives you access to the banking side of it. But that's not a mandatory thing at all. It will make sense at one stage once you start realizing what those products will offer you. But you could actually really just join as a free member. And if the whole of South Africa would do that, man, this country would be turned upside down. We would probably not need banks anymore, because nobody would want to go into that kind of debt anymore. It's not that we against debt or making debt, if the debt is built on good reasons and if it's built on asset creation. And as long as it's creating assets, it's actually powerful. It's a powerful tool to use. And so I think South Africa would actually learn to create assets for their next few generations. And that would definitely transform the whole nation.
Bruno, what is a gig club?
A gig club is a formation of people that have the same cause or the same, goal to grow in financial education. And we meet once a month together as a club, and we get educated in that club. We have a little project together as a club where we learn to make money out of a contribution that each gig member brings in, a voluntary contribution. And with that, we create a little business for 6 months only. It's a limited project. But it exposes us to different opportunities that are out there and that we might not just think about just naturally, but in a club situation, we can benefit from one another's experiences and expertise. There's such a variety in our specific club here locally. There's such a variety of people, international people, actually, apart from the Swiss and the Canadian sitting here. There's also Brazilian, there's South Africans, there's a Nigerian, there's an American. So there's a huge variety. I forgot Australian, right? Huge variety of people that have different experiences, different worldviews, and together we can benefit from that and grow.
If someone listening to this now, it catches their attention and they'd like to get involved, what's the first thing they should do?
Well, the very first thing I would suggest is go to our webpage, which is www.gig-institute.com. And there you can see the introductory video. You can log in with your name and your email address, and then you just log in and you get access to the full free education. And then click yourself through some of the videos, some of the teachings, see if you like it, if it appeals to you. And if it does, connect with a local geek club. I mean, if you're in South Africa, there's different geek clubs all around the nation. If you're outside of the country, maybe you want to connect with us and see how we could launch geek in your country, because I think it is not a South African, it doesn't apply for South African context only, it applies for any context in this world.
This has been fascinating, Bruno, and I really appreciate you coming in and letting me ask you these questions. And I'm sure listeners are also, they're hearing something they haven't heard before, unless they already know about GIG. But I have one last question for you. How do you manage to be so active and a wealth coach within GIG and to be the director of YWAM Worcester at the same time?
And being involved in many other things. So, yeah, I definitely have a whole list of things that I'm involved in, and I'm busy learning to manage that well and better. I have come out of a burnout, to be very honest, but I've also learned, and I'm still learning, how to manage it well and work out of my strength, because my strength is in the area of visionary, strategic, futuristic, and so I'm living much more out of this strength, and I've learned to delegate better, and so that's why it's working, yeah, because I know my strength, and I have learned and am learning to manage them better.
Thank you, Bruno Gundelach. Or should I say Bruno Loiso? Would you like to tell us where that comes from?
Well, you're welcome to call me any of these three names, but Loiso is not my registered name, but it is certainly a given name from friends here in South Africa, my Xhosa teacher. And it's a bit of a longer story, but I tried to cut it short. It's in 2000 when a prophet came up to me and said that God will give me a new name, and my new name is Victory. And I appreciated that and I embraced that, but I wasn't going to call myself Victory. For me, that's not a name. It's a word. But I appreciated the meaning behind it and you know, the encouragement. And then about 10 years later, I got that same word again through another event. And again, I was very encouraged, but I wasn't going to call myself Victory. And so when I started taking Xhosa lessons, and I had this beautiful, enthusiastic, and charismatic Xhosa teacher, he's an older man, he's passed away now, but he was this amazing guy. And he says, I'm not going to call you by your Western name if you're in my class. I will give you a Xhosa name because we're learning Xhosa. And then he wrote a list of names on the board and the meaning behind the names. And nothing really just appealed to me, but I knew what my name will be, Victory. And so I asked my teacher if there is a name in Xhosa that means victory. And he shouted out with great joy and said, yes, Loiso. And then he wrote it on the board. And from that day onwards, my official second name in that sense became Loiso. And yeah, a lot of my friends that know me well and know my heart also for this nation, they started calling me Loiso. And so it's become my second name.
Thank you, Bruno Loiso.